Translation. Lord Shiva's body is reddish and he is unstained, but he is covered with ashes. His hair is dusty from the wild wind, dust of the burning crematorium. He is the younger brother of your husband, and he sees with his three eyes. Please kindly, responsibly repeat. Lord Shiva's body is reddish.
Lord Shiva's body is reddish.
And he is unstained. But
he is covered with
ashes. His hair is dusty from the wild wind dust of the burning crematorium. He is the younger brother of your husband. And he sees with his three eyes. Purport. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity, nor is he in the category of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is far more powerful than any living entity up to the standard of Brahma. Yet he is not an equal level, with Vishnu. Since he is almost like Lord Vishnu, Shiva can see past, present, and future. One of his eyes is like the sun, another is like the moon, and his third eye, which is between his eyebrows, is like fire. He can generate fire from his middle eye, and he is able to vanquish any powerful living entity, including Brahma. Yet, he does not live pompously in a nice house, nor does he possess any material properties. Although he is master of the material world, he lives mostly in the crematorium where dead bodies are burnt, and the wild wind dust of the crematorium is his bodily dress. He is unstained by material contamination. Kashyapa took him as his younger brother. Because the youngest sister of Diti, Kashyapa's wife, was married to Lord Shiva, the husband of one's sister is considered one's brother. But not these days, they call it brother-in-law. Okay. By that social relationship, Lord Shiva happened to be the younger brother of Kashyapa. Kashyapa warned his wife that because Lord Shiva would see their sex indulgence, the time was not appropriate. Diti might argue that they would enjoy sex life in a private place, but Kashyapa reminded her that Lord Shiva has three eyes, called the sun, moon, and fire, and one cannot escape his vigilance any more than one can escape Vishnu. Although seen by the police, a criminal is sometimes not immediately punished. The police wait for the proper time to apprehend him. The forbidden time for sexual intercourse will be noted by Lord Shiva, and deity will meet with proper punishment by giving birth to a child of ghostly character or a godless impersonalist. Kashyapa foresaw this, and thus he warned his wife, Diti. This is a difficult class. Om Gyana Timirandasya, Gyana Jana Salakaya, Saksul Militam, Jena Tasmai, Si Gurube Maha. Chititaya Mano Bistam, Stav Fitam Jena Bhutale, Swayam Rupam Kadamayam, Badati Swa, Padantika. Vanchaya Kalpatari, Vyachaya Kripas, Samindhya, Eroja, Patitam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinam. Namaste, Sadhas for today, Lord of I, the child, many senses, one God, the Pastor, the Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadara, Sri Vasari, Gaur, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama. So we have about a few minutes to share some few things and then go to question and answer. See, Prabhupada used like 20 minutes to give classes. Iskam people use 2 hours to give classes. I don't know where we get this. They listen to Prabhupada's lectures. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, he's finished his class. And if you go into the transcription, it's all pages, you know. Pages of transcription. So, this text is a continuation of the episode where Kashyapa and his wife had to meet with some dismal consequences for doing the deed at the improper time. So, sex is a science, by the way. And forgive me, I don't intend to hurt anybody, but sometimes, I remember when I was active on Facebook several years ago, I used to say, you quote something from the Sastra, and then, you know, some devotee, I know some one devotee from Florida, he will inbox me and say, Mada, why are you talking this? You should just eulogize, you know, this, don't quote what Prabhupada had said. So sometimes even you speak from the scriptures, you're in a problem. Yeah, I'm talking about practical experience, I've lived experience. But important thing here is that the scriptures are not just meant for religious. They're not just meant to be religious narratives. We are supposed to derive some models to go home with, to be able to implement in our lives, to create a positive spiritual change. And this story about Kashyapa is also a weapon that some people use to just, you know, give women the emotional courage to be subservient to their husbands. I remember some years ago I was in Delhi temple and they were it was having to do with this marriage of Kadama Muni and Diti. You know, when I finished giving a class, and in Delhi temple there are all these huge, huge ladies, you know, doctors and professors and all these things. So when I finished giving the class, I saw a troop of very huge ladies moving forward to the asana. I thought, what did I do? But I was just unnecessarily scared. Anyway, I don't want to go into the other details. But then, talking about these social, spiritual issues in the Sastra, these stories are meant to give us some standard to live in our lives. So like here, this chapter basically, the pregnancy of deity, in other words, it's all about the science of authentic procreation. Sex, there are two types of sex. There's recreational sex and there is procreational sex. I remember I was discussing with one of my friends, a lady, and she quickly corrected me that, no, marriage. No, we don't. She was talking about herself and her husband. He said, no, we don't engage in creation, recreational sex. He said, sometimes we can have some type of belief system, but the belief system may not be backed by data. So I had that conception that the people are married, yes, they should enjoy sex. But she said, no. So, again, this is a woman in ISKCON. And she's married. And she told me blankly that they don't engage in recreational sex. Now they have a baby. She and her husband, they have a baby. Baby is just 2 years old. But she's like, fire. Little girl, 2 years old, but she acts as if she is 5 years old. So that is the power of the science of sex. When people follow the Gabbada Samskara, have sex at the proper time, we can invoke powerful souls who will help in redirecting a misdirected civilization. Now, this movement was established, was registered in New York in 1966. From 1966 to 2026, how many years? How many years? 60? Yes. So we have been engaged in marriages in our movement, producing children for 60 years. We have not produced one single sannyasi. One single sannyasi we have not produced. All the sannyasis in this movement, they are outsiders. Would I say imported? So the young generation, you have to fill this gap. You see, in research, if you have to conduct the research, you have to find a gap in the literature. So here is a gap in our movement. We have produced top scholars from Oxford who want to do their PhD in Oxford. We have produced powerful ketaneers, powerful musicians. We have not produced one single sannyasi. Homemade sannyasi we have not produced. And sometimes you hear people say, I leave the movement because some guru has fallen down. Some sannyasi has fallen down. And this is someone married. And this is someone who was born in this movement. Who is to blame? And fall down, by the way, even in the time of Bhakti Siddhanta, people have been falling down. They were chanting 64 rounds. Fall down means that this teaching is very scientific. We are not like in the Catholic where someone indulges in indignity and then he's pushed around here and there, hiding. I remember when I had some discussions with some Catholic reverend fathers at their place. And they were asking me, so in your movement, that was several years ago when I was a young brahmachari, they asked me that in your movement, when, you know, your reverend fathers, say the sannyasis, brahmacharis, when they get into trouble, what happens? I say, you're done. And this guy, one of them, he told me, you guys are wicked. Because it's completely opposite of what transpires in their own system. And so, what we are trying to say is that the young generation who are getting married, they have a lot of work to do. We have to fill this gap. There's a gap in our movement. We have produced very top scholars, top ketaneers, powerful pujaris, we have not produced One single sentence. And we can do it. We can do it. So, the mothers, you're hearing this now? Young guys, well, potential grihasthas, you're hearing this? We have a gap in our movement. We have to fill this gap. We have to fill this gap. So, Diti was very philosophical, very persuasive. In fact, someone is not persuasive, they will not be able to get their way through. In this world, you have to be really persuasive to be able to get people to do things that initially they didn't want to do. It's different from forcing anybody to do anything. It's different from even your child. You need to have some persuasive skills or persuasive strategies to be able to get your child emotionally motivated to do something that initially they say, "Mommy, no," or "Daddy, no." Sometimes we don't have any, we lack persuasion. But you see, in this episode, Diti, by dint of her persuasion, she had her goal achieved. Persuasion. Diti demonstrated. Kashyapa was resistant in the beginning. But by dint of her powerful persuasion, Kashyapa yielded. The description of Lord Shiva is also mentioned that Lord Shiva lives in crematoriums. And his garlands are just, you know, skulls. We use very nice Maha garland from the deity. Lord Shiva's garlands are skulls. You know what I mean? Garlands treated with skulls. And Lord Shiva is very, very compassionate. So he helps even disembodied souls to be able to acquire bodies. So when people have sex at the inappropriate time, Lord Shiva throws ghostly characters into the womb. Because he's trying to help the ghostly characters. They are disembodied entities. They need bodies to be able to enjoy. And therefore, it is so dangerous to have sex in the at the inappropriate time. During Prabhupada's first initiation in 1966 in New York, before the initiation, the matchless gift from before the initiation, some devotees had asked Prabhupada, "So you want to give us initiation? What is our commitment?" And Prabhupada said, "You have to chant 64 rounds every day." They said, "No, we cannot." And Prabhupada said, "This is their implanting the seed, volume 1, by Sasaru Goswami." And Prabhupada said, "Okay, 32 rounds." They said, "No, we cannot." He said, "Prabhupada, it came down 16, rock bottom, minimum, take it or leave it." So that's how we came to these 16 rounds. So it's the minimum, it's not the maximum. And then someone asked Prabhupada, I don't know whether it's Brahmananda, the late Brahmananda, I don't remember. It's been a long time I read that, Planting the Seed. So someone asked Prabhupada, "So for married people, how many times they should chant before they have sex?" And Prabhupada said 50 each, husband 50, wife 50. And then this person said, "I think it's Brahman." He said, "Oh, better to just leave it up." So the prescription, the science is giving. By the way, you know why Prahlad appeared in the womb of Hiranyakasipu's wife? This is fast forward. Okay. But the story is there in the 20th chapter of Narasimha Purana. Jai Sri Sri Gokulananda Ki Jai Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshmanan Mangurana Tan Ki Jai. The story is there in the 20th chapter of the Narasimha Purana, where there was this, Lord Brahma was agonized by some type of anxiety because Hiranyakasipu had planned to go to the forest to perform austerities, and he knew what Hiranyakasipu was going to be asking. And he didn't have that. So he was in anxiety. And his son, Naramuni, the best of his sons, he understood that his father was in anxiety. So he came to the rescue. So he came to tell Lord Brahma he shouldn't worry. He would take care of the situation. And what Naramuni did was that Hiranyakasipu had gone to the forest to perform austerities. And he had told his wife that he would not be coming back soon. But then it happened that he didn't stay long. He came back. So then, one day they were having an affair. And again, look at the social conventions and the implications of understanding what to do at the right time. The Hiranyakasipu's wife, she was smart like Diti. She knew what to ask the husband, what time to ask, and he would not say no. So when they were having an affair, she asked, "Hey, my wonderful husband, you said you'd be away for a long time, but you came back from the forest so fast. What happened?" Hiranyakasipu unveiled the whole story. He said when he was in the forest, there was a bed, there were two beds on the tree under where he was performing his austerities. And they were chanting, you know, Om Namo Narayana Namaha. Om Namo Narayana Namaha. So he was very disturbed by that. So as he repeated those words of that mantra, then he discharged semen. That is how the soul of Prahlad was invoked into the wife's womb, remembering the Lord when he was having sex. And that's why, this is the bottom line, why Prabhupada indicated to his early disciples that if they want to really procreate, powerful souls, they have to chant 50 rounds, husband and wife. That's how Prahlad came to be. So, the opposite case here is that Diti and Kashyapa, sometimes the woman is very passionate about it and will convince the husband to do it without caring about whether it is recreational or procreational. So these are things that we need to consider. Those who are going to the grihastha ashram is a high, we were talking about responsibility yesterday in the Bhagavad Gita class. It's a higher responsibility. In fact, if someone is a grihastha, he is duty bound to go back home, back to God at the end of this life. There's a difference between grihastha and someone who is married. The grihastha, they are more disciplined than even the swamis. Oh yeah. We don't have to deal with women around us. But the grihastha is someone who has the woman around, sees the woman, they live in the same place, but wouldn't touch her except he performed some rituals. I mean, it's like, I give the example. It looks very raw, but look at it. If you know, those of you who've been to Vrindavan, you know how wonderful the Vrindavan monkeys are. they snatch glasses from, you know, pilgrims and all this stuff. I say they're wonderful. They're powerful souls. So if you carry a banana, say a bunch of banana, you're carrying a bunch of ripe banana, then you walk in the streets of Vrindavan, how long can you go? But here you'll find there's some special monkeys in one particular street in Vrindavan, so to say. Let's assume. Okay? There's a special street in Vrindavan where you can move with a bunch of ripe bananas, and there are very many monkeys all over the street, and no one disturbs you. That's a grihastha. So it's very difficult to be a grihastha. It's very easy to be married. If someone is a grihastha, they can produce a child like Prahlad. They can produce sannyasis, people who would not be interested in sex life. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
It's not working.
Thank you, Maharaj. No. It works. In terms of, you said we didn't manage to produce any powerful sannyasi yet.
Yeah.
Is that maybe to do because those are devotees, parents, they were not begotten by any samskara also. So, you know, they have their baggage still. So I guess needs few generations performing samskara, and then powerful soul who was begotten by samskara will be able to produce such a powerful soul. Is that the case? Or
Well, it is a problem. Problem needs to be pointed out, and so that we can make strategies on how to deal with that problem. Identify this problem, and I'm bringing it up because we need to produce our own sannyasis, and the people should try to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Sometimes it's so easy to say, we are Prabhupada Nugas. We are following Prabhupada's instructions. The Prabhupada's instructions are really very, very difficult. They are difficult. If someone tells you they're not difficult, they're not being sincere. How many grihasthas? How many people married? Some of our devotees are even married to non-devotees. How are you going to get them to chant 50 rounds? So, that is a problem. I know one of my friends in Alachua, proper disciple. He told me a story. He met this lady, and she wanted them to get married. Then he said, look, this is my background and all this. He said she will follow everything. So she persuaded him. Again, persuasion. Persuaded him, and then they got married. Yes, she followed. But when they had a child, when the child was like 2 years old, one day she came to him and said, hey, I'm not following anything anymore. And then he said, all right, bye. And he has to solely take responsibility of nurturing the child. She left the child behind, and then she went. So if you meet some attractive man or woman outside who is not a devotee, and you went, You want that person to be your spouse. How is the 50-50 rounds going to transpire? How is the Gobadam Samskara going to transpire? This is the issue. That's why I said, this is spiritual life looks like a very simple thing. And sometimes we make it so simple. But it's not so simple. Even getting up every day, I remember when I joined the temple commander goes around with a bell at 3 o'clock. He will ring the bell and every brahmachari and brahmacharini must wake up. You're supposed to be in the temple room to chant for at least 1 hour before Mangarati. So, yeah, the system is perfect. And we have to strive. Sometimes the truth is bitter, but it cures. The truth is that spiritual life is not as simple as we think. Devotional life is not as simple as we think. Especially, and sometimes people think, well, I can't be a brahmachari anymore. Better to be a grihastha. Grihastha is more difficult than being a brahmachari. If you really want to be a grihastha, if you want to get married, that is a different thing. You want to be a grihastha, at the end of this life, you will go back home, back to God. All right, 2 more minutes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you. Actually, there is one. There's one Gurukuli that talks in the house. Son of a Prabhupada disciple, but he didn't take sannyasi in ISKCON, it was outside ISKCON. So, because sannyasi is a very much an institutional kind of ashram, dependent on an institution like ISKCON. And so we may also question why is it that someone could take sannyasi outside ISKCON but not in ISKCON. Maybe the leaders of ISKCON can also think what can be done in that sense. Like in the early days, the whole Gurukul system wasn't really perfect, and it's gone kind of the opposite way to what Prabhupada wanted it now. Because if you want sannyasis, they have to be positioned in the proper Gurukul. The way Prabhupada wanted it, not a part-time school, but a proper Gurukul, and then you'll get strong devotees who will most likely take sannyas as well. So maybe as an institution, the leaders can also question why is there why are no devotees coming. I'm taking sannyas.
Yeah, thank you. I don't think that. Did you go through a Gurukul? I didn't go through a Gurukul. In fact, the sannyasis I know in ISKCON, they never went through a Gurukul. The early sannyasis, and even the second generation sannyasis, we never went through a Gurukul. So Gurukul is not. May not be the sole problem.
Yeah, but was that not Prabhupada's instruction?
Prabhupada gave so many instructions. And just like I mentioned, there is sometimes we undermine the cultural sensitivity of situations. And then we want to brand everything on one name. But we have to also understand that people are born and bred in different cultures. They have different type of modus operandi and modus vivendi. But then the bottom line is that Krishna consciousness, the practice of Krishna consciousness can purify anyone and everyone. And even then we have not produced our own sannyasis, produced the devotees who have taken sannyas in ISKCON, still we have made a very great progress. Look, A whole city is being built, spiritual city is being built in Mayapur. That is the impetus of Prabhupada. So we have gone a long way. We have made some serious progress. The problem that I identified is, like you mentioned, yeah, there could be somebody who was born born in the movement but never took sannyas in ISKCON. So it's still, we have not produced one. He's not here.
No, you're right. You don't have to be in the Gurukul to take sannyas. But I only mentioned it because you were saying,
yeah,
why isn't there any Gurukuli taking sannyas in ISKCON? Mm-hmm. So that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very cogent.
You know, there was a strong Gurukul system with the way Prabhupada wanted it. Maybe it'd be more of a chance it would happen.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's not dependent 100%.
Even the Gurukul alone wouldn't solve that problem, because the issue is the science of procreational sex. Everything you put people in Gurukul who are products of illicit sex, it will still be a problem. But then the question is also, we are products of illicit sex. I am a typical case of product of illicit sex. But the movement is so powerful that even products of illicit sex, they could be transformed. I'm a typical Vana Sankara. Okay?
Yeah, we all are.
So, yeah. I recognize your point. That's a good accomplishment. The problem is that we can't identify that person right in us, with us. I mean, it's like we say, we have powerful gurus in the beginning and then they fell down. So they are not there. They are no longer gurus. They are not there. They are no longer seeing. They are not sannyasis. But it doesn't mean that we should throw away the baby with the bathwater. This is my point. We shouldn't think, because some problems have transpired in the past, so this system, damn it. And I know somebody from London who left the movement, and he blamed it that, one guru has some problem, and then he left. Not his guru. Some guru had a problem, and then he left. But he was born in this movement. Why couldn't he become a good example to become the Paka Sanyasi, a Paka guru, and set the record straight? Instead of passing the buck, or finding someone to blame, or pointing accusing figures to somebody, we want to leave, and then we'll always find some reason to leave. So that's not being responsible. But your point is very valid. I appreciate that. The class is supposed to end at 8:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Some ladies want to ask a question? Because yesterday also somebody wanted to ask a question. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I just want to say your laughter is very innocent and contagious.
Thank you.
I'm not sure about brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, but I see these days many girls and boys, they don't want to get married. I mean, they are just single. So if you could throw some light. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I've also observed that. In fact, I met somebody yesterday. She's a professional, well-reputed, well-educated. And then, you know, she said she's not married. I said, why? She said she never had interest in marriage. There are powerful people on this planet who are not interested in sex. Okay? Yeah. I've seen a number of ladies in India, especially disciples of late His Holiness Gopakrishna Goswami Maharaj. I know two of them. One of them cooks for me in Vrindavan. The other one is like my personal assistant in Mayapur. They're brahmacharis. They are top professionals. The other one in Vrindavan has a master's degree. The other one in Mayapur, she's an IT. She works for some Dell company until she retired and became full-time with the project in Mayapur. So I know women in Amume who are not interested in sex. Oh, yeah. You know that everybody's interested in sex. If women are not interested in sex, what about your men? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.